You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Let's start with the big story that is, and it came out yesterday, and it was officially announced this morning via the University of Oregon. Jim Leavitt is out as the defensive coordinator for the Oregon Ducks after two seasons. He was one of the highest paid coordinators in the country, and they were able to reach an agreement on a buyout of $2.5 million funded by, as they describe it, private sources. I think we can all connect the dots where that's going.
It was me. That was my 2019 salary. I donated it.
And now we talk with good friend of the show, Justin Hopkins. ScoopDuck.com is his website. He joins us on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild hotline. All right, Justin, thanks for joining us, man. I saw something that you put out yesterday of, you know, basically you had to have been living under a rock to not see this coming. Well, I'm going to pencil myself into the under the rock category for some listeners who may not have seen it. What were some signs, in your opinion, that this potentially was what the result was going to be for Jim Leavitt in Oregon?
You know, I think you could just, you know, if you kind of scaled it back and looked, and if you follow recruiting on a daily or a weekly basis, you know, not any of the recruits that Oregon signed, you know, mentioned Jim Leavitt. He was definitely noticeably absent all year long in all of those reports from recruits that would show up on campus or be watching Oregon or say, hey, this is the coach I talk to the most, or, you know, all those things. He was never mentioned. And, you know, secondly, if you go back and you definitely at least look at the Red Box Bowl, if nothing else, there are shots of Jim Leavitt, you know, really distance on the sideline from most of the other defensive coaches. And I'm talking mid-game, you know, things going on. All these guys have headsets on, making adjustments, and that's what they do. You know, you'd see Jim Leavitt down there, but definitely not involved in the group as one would expect. So, you know, the interviews that he did post-practice, they were few and far between, and the ones you got were very short. I mean, minute and a half. I mean, he couldn't wait to get out from behind the microphone there. So, you know, there's a little bit more that kind of goes into it. But obviously, if you just kind of start penciling things together, it's like, wow, how was your defensive coordinator not involved in recruiting? That's usually a pretty good red flag right there.
Yeah, I think we're going to look back on this as kind of a pivotal moment of the Mario Cristobal era. Because Jim Leavitt, for, you know, no matter maybe character flaws or how he got along with other coaches, we know he's got a good track record as a defensive coach. Do you think we're going to view this thing in the long term as a positive or a negative for Oregon?
You know, that depends. And, you know, that's a really good question, because obviously if you are an Oregon fan going back 3, 4, 5 years, you know, you're going from one of the worst defenses you've ever seen to, you know, wow, things really turned around in a very short time. And you definitely have to give Jim Leavitt a lot of credit for that. But the hard part is, you know, and I'll drop a little bit of stats on you, Oregon's defense from year one to year two actually dropped a fair amount under Jim Leavitt. Scoring defense, total defense, rushing defense was way down, and holding opponent, their red zone opportunities was way down. So all those stats coming by way of just in conference, not some of the powder puff, you know, out of conference games that Oregon had the past 2 years, you know, apples to apples there. So, you know, I think Oregon fans, and rightfully so, they have a really big soft spot for Jim Leavitt and the turnaround of the defense and the things he did, and I can totally appreciate that. But at the end of the day, you know, if you factor in, well, the defense didn't progress in year two, it actually went a step back, and you go with the, you know, other distractions of not maybe being able to mesh and whatnot. You know, Mario Cristobal has two locker rooms to control. He has the coach's locker room, and he's got the player's locker room. And unfortunately, you get one bad seed in either one, and it can be cancerous. And I think that's just, you know, maybe some of what went on here.
Yeah. Justin Hopkins, ScoopDuck.com is our guest. He's on Twitter at JHopkinsSD. Give him a follow. You know, Jim Leavitt being out at Oregon now there's a lot of speculation and people wondering, all right, who's the new defensive coordinator? I'm real curious your thoughts on this, because fans throughout the season, you know, when they lose games, everybody points to a coach or they point at this and they point at that. If they hire within, because I know that's one rumor with Keith Hayward, if they hire within, who do you believe is their best coach on that staff? And do you think there's a worry about them being too recruiting heavy and maybe not enough what Jim Leavitt was when he came, an X's and O's guy who maybe not be the best recruiter, but he sure knows how to coach football.
Sure. And I think we've heard, I'll get to the first part of the question, but I think we've heard Mario Cristobal talk pretty extensively about hiring teachers. You know, that's something that's very important to him. I think Jim Mastro is a perfect example of somebody that can do both. He's a terrific teacher of running backs, but he's also a strong recruiter. I think Ken Wilson, brought in from Washington State as well to coach linebackers, is an excellent teacher as well. Also a fairly strong recruiter. Oregon secondary was probably Oregon's most improved unit over the year, which means clearly those guys were being taught. Now that's a combination of Keith Hayward and Dante Williams. But, I think Hayward maybe unfairly gets labeled as a terrific recruiter, which is not a bad label to have. But a lot of times when that happens in college football, folks aren't willing to give those particular coaches credit for their coaching acumen alone. And I think Keith Hayward is another example of somebody who's able to do both. He's able to teach, but he's also able to recruit. So, he kind of maybe gets pegged into this unfair recruiting category. I'll agree. And if it's Keith Hayward, obviously Mario Cristobal has seen enough in him so far to promote him to co-defensive coordinator. So does that mean he's ready to take the next step? I'm sure Cristobal assessed that throughout the year. I do agree it's risky. It is a big step for Keith Hayward. But, at this point, we almost really have no reason not to believe Mario Cristobal knows what he's doing enough to figure out these things. I don't believe that he's just going to promote Hayward because it's easy and it's his buddy and it just makes the most sense and everybody can keep going. He's only going to do it if he's the most qualified candidate. So I do believe that that's most likely what will happen, but I also believe that's because Mario Cristobal is confident that Keith Hayward is ready.
Well, and on top of that, too, because I'm with you, it feels like all signs are pointing in that direction. I've heard some rumblings. I think you've posted about this a couple of times that people have been mentioning that Keith Hayward had kind of a bigger responsibility and role last year than maybe he ever got credit for. And he was a big part of dialing up game plans and even calling plays at times against, Washington in that win in the Red Box Bowl when they looked great defensively shutting down Michigan State. Did he have a bigger role and was he a part, I guess, more of the defense than we knew about last year?
Absolutely. No, he was. It would not be fair to say that was Keith Hayward's defense. That's not fair to say remotely. But I do believe that his fingerprints and certain elements, Keith Hayward really infused into that defense. And, I don't know what kind of a rift that might have created between Leavitt and Hayward. But there is no doubt, I've heard several times over that Keith Hayward has been responsible for some of the adjustments Oregon made. Now, whether those were just second half adjustments or, a particular play called or what the case might be, I'm still going to believe at this moment that was predominantly Jim Leavitt's defense we saw. But, Keith Hayward was there. And one thing to note, Keith Hayward is a very sought after commodity. Willie Taggart twice tried to take Keith Hayward with him to Florida State, upon his departure. USC, both Oregon State, have tried to hire Keith Hayward in the last couple of years. So, he's certainly somebody that's well-respected in the coaching community. So I don't believe one bit that this is merely, Mario Cristobal just promoting because it's easy. It almost, to me, looks more like what Washington did last year with Jimmy Lake. Hey, here's a guy who's highly coveted. If we don't move him up the ladder to some degree, he's going to be taken away from us by another school. I think that's exactly what Oregon's doing with Keith Hayward.
My last question on the defensive move that they made yesterday with Leavitt, Justin, is really simply like a lot of people obviously have tweeted about it. And I put it on our Facebook post and we're having you on the show to talk about it. Do you feel like this needs to be a bigger deal, though? If you put it into context, you're talking what, top five paid assistant coaches in all of college football. They did something they've never done for any coach. They went over the $1 million mark. He was paid $1.7 million. He had a great salary. And I know statistically they fell off, but it just nonchalantly comes out that they've mutually parted ways after one season with the new staff. Is this a bigger deal than even people have been led on?
I don't believe so, because at the end of the day, at least from the rumblings I've had and at least relayed to my readers, this is something that's been in the works. Now, I understand that it probably caught the masses, by surprise. But really, this is sort of something that's been building. This wasn't just, Mario Cristobal and Rob Mullins met yesterday and said, we need to can Jim Leavitt. I'm tired of it. That's not at all what has happened. I mean, this is something that's just been built up. And unfortunately, it progressively got worse and worse. It didn't get better at any point. So I think that was ultimately the hope, is that, gosh, maybe this thing will kind of turn around. Everybody, you know, all sides can get along. We could move forward. And it just didn't happen. So, you know, once again, if you've got a problem or a cancer, if you will, in your coach's locker room, you've got to handle that. In the same way, you've got to handle it, even if it's your star player, you know, in your player locker room. So is it a big deal? Yes. I actually think it's a big deal because of this. You know, Rob Mullins and Oregon are not ones to throw money, you know, at something like this usually. I mean, they're very, very budget oriented. They pay attention to this kind of stuff. But it also exemplifies something that I consider, you know, bad contracts and coaching hires. You've got to be very, very careful about who you hire, how much you pay them, and, you know, the length of the contract. I mean, for instance, you know, you're locked in for several years here and having to pay a significant buyout to somebody that you just basically felt you didn't want to run.
Did we lose him? Is he still there? Damn it.
The phone's got another one.
I'm there. I survived.
We have one more question for you. We're already against the clock, so I'm glad we were able to get you back. Dirt has one more question for you.
So all these coaches keep teasing something, Hop. When's this big announcement coming? Do we have any idea? And does it have to do with a 6'4", 225-pound wide receiver?
Well, you're certainly leading things down the right path. I'll be honest. I thought it was going to be done before, you know, we did this here, before we were on. Mm-hmm. And I was somewhat scared, actually, that it would happen while we were on. And I thought that might be kind of fun. But I guess, you know, if you're an Oregon fan and you're into, you know, 6'4", 225-pound wide receivers, you might want to pay attention here in the near future.
All right, there we go. Good news for Oregon fans yet again and getting a talent to Eugene. Justin Hopkins, ScoopDuck.com. He's on Twitter at JHopkinsSD. Give him a follow. Friend of the show. Thanks so much, Justin, man. We always appreciate when you can hop on with us.
Thanks, guys.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.